And we're joined once again on The Scoop today for another edition of You Betcha with Colton Molesky talking college football. Colton, we started up some head-to-head picks just for fun here in week four of the college football season, and I took a massive L. I am coming for blood, though. I'm going to get it back here in week five.
I just feel bad about giving a bad lock of the week this week. Navy lose by one to SM. That was my lock, having them by seven. But you know what? Hopefully, I can come back and give the people another winner. Get back to my winning ways for that segment.
Let's take a look at what we saw from the college football landscape. A lot of great games, as we have come to expect. But let's just look at some of the things that happened in week four. What were some of the big surprises in results?
I was really impressed with Texas over TCU. I noted that going into the week that Texas needed to keep it low scoring because of Sam Ehlinger's his record against teams when they score 25 or more points, and how Texas just isn't very good in shootouts. And they did a great job holding TCU to 16 points and grabbing a big third quarter, scoring a 14-3 in the third quarter. Did a great job just getting Robinson, the quarterback for TCU, out of his comfort zone, getting him kind of moving around on the run, and then getting to him in general. This team had four sacks in three games going into it. And while they weren't able to grab any sacks in this game, they were able to grab five tackles for loss and get him off his spot. So they weren't able to sack the quarterback. They kept moving around, which kind of threw the TCU offense out of whack and threw it in a funk. Didn't let them really run the ball very well from running back. So because of all those things, they're able to grab a win. Also, receiver Colin Johnson for them, 124 yards and a touchdown with a diving leap grab for the touchdown. He has been a phenomenal watch as far as receivers, as he was last year, but now seems like their offense has a little more continuity. So he's going to be a really fun watch throughout the year. But that was probably the biggest surprise for me, was just TCU not able to bounce back from that loss to Ohio State, and Texas putting together a few games, looking pretty nice right now as far as the football team kind of making a bounce back from what happened last year.
Of course, my teams that I went with, Virginia Tech, Boston College, and Oklahoma, all had some trouble, as Oklahoma won in overtime 28-21 over Army, and then Virginia Tech ended up losing to Old Dominion, and Boston College lost to Purdue. Any other big upsets in the top 25 that we saw from this past week?
Well, this one isn't really upset, right? We talked about this before. We had a Stanford-Oregon game. Stanford comes back down 24-7, and they're able to come back and win the game in overtime. Fantastic game all the way through. Really what you expect from this this rivalry game that Stanford-Oregon plays. Yeah, it was a fantastic show from the Stanford Cardinal. Bryce Love threw a pretty quiet performance. Really only had that one monster game against USC. Pretty quiet performance from him. Weren't able to go to him a ton, but KJ Costello for the Cardinal throwing for 327 yards and three touchdowns, outpacing the Ducks and able to get the win and keep the number seven Stanford Cardinal perfect. A really good game. If you dive into it and go check out some articles I've written, there's a lot to dive into and take away from this game. But it was a thriller to end your night for Saturday.
Colton, looking at the rankings here for week five, the top 25, the biggest movers include Mississippi State dropping nine spots to number 23. And the biggest mover within the top 25 was Michigan, up five spots. A couple of teams that were not ranked that are in: Kentucky, Texas, Duke, Cal, and Texas Tech. Any surprises, any teams that you think should have been left off, or teams that you think should have been included in this week's top 25?
Well, one of the big movers, obviously Kentucky, getting that win over Mississippi State. It was the first time in 41 years that they beat Mississippi State and Florida in the same year. And it's really interesting, too, how they're winning these games and just the rough and tumble way that they're getting things done. Their quarterback, Wilson, hasn't passed for any crazy amount of yards. Benny Snell, the running back, has been pretty solid with 540 rushing yards. But it's not, there's nothing that they are blowing off of the stat sheet as far as numbers or how they've looked. It's been pretty, it gets these games to go pretty rough and tumble. But they're just really opportunistic. They are able to grab some turnovers and then make teams pay off the turnovers. And they've been stay fairly clean with the football. And it's been fun to watch that team that's been really bad in football over the last few years kind of come around and make another element of the SEC interesting. It's been a lot of fun. As far as other moves, we were talking about this as well. I thought Stanford should have bumped up a little bit. Oklahoma saved themselves and stay at six. LSU, it's not a big bump, but LSU at five, kind of a dark horse going into the season for some people as far as a playoff team, but I know they have the toughest part of the schedule ahead of them. But LSU at five, if they can hang on through a few games, even if they take a loss to Alabama, like losing to the number one team when you're at five, if it's a close game, isn't that big of a deal. If they can hang around, you might see them in contention for a playoff spot.
Looking at the slate of games here this weekend, plenty of good ones, including, I'll highlight a couple, number 4, Ohio State at number 9, Penn State, number 7, Stanford at number 8, Notre Dame, also number 19, Oregon at number 24, Cal. What are some other games that you will be closely monitoring here for Week 5?
Well, I was watching for Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, but I'll get into that one in a little bit. That's actually Texas Tech, West Virginia. I'll get into that one later, though. That's actually part of my lock of the week. I was also watching LSU Ole Miss. I think that could be interesting. I think LSU wins this one just because, again, that defense is crazy good. But Jordan Ta'uma, I think he needs a bounce-back performance in a spotlight game after getting just walloped by Alabama. I think that he needs to come out and have a solid game against LSU. He can play with a defense that is actually really good and not just play with these teams that want to go high school football and show like a basketball score. Another game, Cal versus Oregon. I think it'll be really interesting to see how both Oregon responds on the road to that overtime disappointment loss that they had at home last weekend. And I think it'll be interesting to see how Cal looks now that they're a ranked team. They've been doing some nice things, putting some wins together, 3-0. Let's see how they look now against a team that we know is really good in Oregon and we know deserves to be in the top 25 after how they played Stanford. Let's see how these teams respond to a couple of factors from last weekend.
All right, Colton, let's get to it here before we switch gears a little bit. What is your lock of the week?
So I touched on it there, but West Virginia, Texas Tech, you have West Virginia, the number 12 team, going up against the number 25 team, and West Virginia will be on the road, and they are a 3.5-point favorite. I'm actually taking Texas Tech. I'm scooping up that 3.5 points. And I'm grabbing them. I think they can win this game. Alan Bowman has been phenomenal at quarterback for them. 1,500 passing yards, 10 touchdowns. But if you look at their offense in general, they've got at least 3 receivers that can really hurt you, 3 receivers that have over 200 yards, and they have 5 receivers that have over 100 receiving yards so far this year, as well as 3 running backs over 100 yards rushing. Now, West Virginia, they're no slouch either. They have been averaging around 42 points per game, and they have a stable of running backs that can really balance out this offense as well as their quarterback, Will Greer, maybe one of the best quarterbacks in the country, not in the SEC right now. And you have to look for him, but the biggest factor here is that I think that the teams that Texas Tech has been playing and putting themselves up against and proving themselves, especially that win last week against Oklahoma State, have been a little more convincing than the teams that West Virginia has beaten. Also, if you're looking at some guys on the defensive side, it's going to be a really high-scoring offensive matchup, but who's going to make the difference on defense? Who's going to get the turnover on defense for one of these teams that's going to make the real difference and make the real impact in a game where it might be as simple as you have to have the ball last and score to win this game? Adrian at the corner for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. He has 3 interceptions and 5 pass breakups this season. He's going to be the guy where if I'm looking at somebody on the defenses of these two teams to really make a difference and really be the guy who changes the game with a key interception or turnover, Fry is the guy because he's proven that he can grab and make key picks, and he has, and I think he gets a 4th one in this one, and it makes all the difference because that's going to be the 7 points Texas Tech needs to win.
Well, we'll see how the picks turn out, and we'll do our head-to-head picks here at some point before the weekend, and I have full confidence that I'm going to be 3-0 and I'll take it back here for week 5. I did want to ask you, though, Colton, because obviously for those who have listened to the show quite a bit, we have you on for NBA as well, and we have a little bit of a mess going on with the Timberwolves right now. They are attempting to move on from Jimmy Butler. That has not happened yet. It sounds like Tom Thibodeau had a meeting with Butler to try to convince him to come back, and that went about as well as you would expect. Just looking at some of the potential returns that the Wolves could get for Butler, are there any teams that you would like to see really step up to the plate? I know that the teams that have been most involved, it seems like, are Miami. We've also heard Milwaukee was involved. The Kings now seem to be making a big push. But who are some of the teams that you think would give the best return for the Wolves for Jimmy Butler?
Well, I know that this is kind of all handcuffed by the fact that Jimmy Butler listed 3 teams that he wants to go to, coupled with the fact that it feels like he kind of wants to get Kyrie Irving to join up with him. And so the rumors of Kyrie and the Knicks, if those had any water at all, it kind of feels like the Knicks maybe are the one team that Jimmy Butler is really looking at to try and join up with his buddy Kyrie. But if we're taking all that away, I really like Miami as a trade partner for the Timberwolves. I don't know. I'm not sure how confident. I know that the goal was to try and get rid of Gorgie and his contract with Jimmy Butler and try and make a team take on that contract if they're going to grab Jimmy Butler. I don't know how successful that'll be, but I really like whether they are giving up just Jimmy Butler if they're able to get rid of Gorgie's contract. I really like the idea that Miami, we could grab, the Timberwolves could grab Justice Winslow from them. I think that he really helped with the defense of the Timberwolves. I like the idea of grabbing a young guy, but not a rookie, who established himself as a guy who can play a good chunk of minutes in the NBA. You're not going to have to mold him as much, but he still has some growing, and he still has a ceiling that he can reach, and he can kind of reach that ceiling while Wiggins and Towns are going for their ceiling. I like the idea of a bunch of younger guys who are also kind of coming up together. And I think he's built up the defense. I think the defense Wiggins and Towns still have, he could maybe help make up for some of those in a little bit. And I think you see his offensive game last year, saw his offensive game, he's finding his mid-range shot. His game is kind of coming along, and he's polished up a lot of things last year that were really rough around the edges 2 years ago. And so I think that you're getting a little more finished of a product for him. It's much of a pick. You have to mold and work as much. Expect to come in and make an impact on the defense right away. I'm not sure. Again, I'm not. I know that that's not on the list. We're saying that the Kings, the report from Lowe's, that the Kings are necessary in facilitating the Butler deal. So I know that's not one of those teams, but as far as just what you get back, I think if you can get back a piece like Justice Winslow, that'll make this trade pretty solid for the Timberwolves.
Well, we'll see what happens there. I'm just glad that Karl-Anthony Towns signed his extension.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah, he'll be sticking around for a while, 5 years, $190 million. Obviously, this kind of goes hand-in-hand with this Butler trade, but what do the Timberwolves need to do in order to build now around Towns as their franchise player?
Well, I mean, I think that I don't think that the mission that you're on as the Timberwolves changes much. I know that you need to maybe work on defense is more of an area of concern now with one of the best defenders and 2 of the players in the NBA leaving. But I think that the mission is still the same. I think that you build around your guy, which is now Towns. He's the clear and definitive number one guy. and you need to have creativity around him. You can't just run five guys into the ground 42 minutes a game. You need I don't want to see Towns averaging more than 35 minutes a game, honestly. I really don't. Or Wiggins. And I want to see you get into your bench. I want to see you be creative. I mean, Towns is so versatile. You could really have some fun with this lineup. Put him as a center with a bunch of like guards and shooting with a bunch of guards, shooting guards and point guards. Put him in a small ball lineup because you know he can run and he can even spread the floor a little bit. And if you go small ball against a team that has a bunch of guards and point guards and shooting guards out there, and you have Towns at the five still, and he's going out to the wing, and then he's rushing back the paint, I think that you could mess up a lot of teams that way. I think you still have the pieces on this roster to go uber big. I know Justin Patton is injured again, but you still have enough pieces, whether they trade Gorgie or not, to go a little. Team throw Keita out there. You have Josh Gibson and Gorgie still around. Throw him out there with Towns. Go a little bit bigger. I mean, you still can be creative. You can still be versatile with this lineup, and that's really the key for the Timberwolves is being creative and trying new things out and figuring out not one set of five guys that you can throw out there, but figuring out three or four different lineups that you can throw out there that really work for this team, so you can give other teams a lot of different looks. Because at the end of the day, when you're looking at what really went wrong for them against Houston, I know there's a lot of things. Towns seemed to be playing out of position. There was some injury problems with Butler where he didn't really seem to be healthy. You can melt it down to some of those little things. But at the end of the day, Houston knew exactly what they were getting in the Timberwolves. And, yeah, Derrick Rose played more minutes in that one. But it really was about a six-man rotation, basically, from the Timberwolves. And so you knew what you were going to get. You couldn't throw anything different, or they couldn't throw anything different at the Rockets. And that's really a bummer if you're trying to compete with some of these teams that have four or five different looks that they can throw at a team. And you need to be creative. And so that should be still the number one goal, just like it was when you were going into the summer.
Excellent. Great stuff once again, Colton, here today. We'll see how things play out with your picks and the rest of the college football landscape for week five. We'll see what happens with Jimmy Butler and the rest of the Timberwolves sagas as they start to get ready for the season. But regardless, we'll break it all down with you again next week.
Thanks again for having me on, Seth. And make sure to check out Locked On Wolves podcast. We're getting back into the season. The NBA regular season is like 2.5 weeks away. So that's good news for all of you NBA heads like myself. So excited for that to get kicked off. And then make sure to go check out all the SB Nation college content I'm helping contribute towards. A bunch of good stuff all over SB Nation to get you ready for Saturdays. So make sure you're going and checking all of it out.